Janaranjana Jamuna Siravana Shari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayam Vishnu Paya Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Ashtarashati Shri Shri Madhisattvam Grace Hasty Bhaktivaranta Swami Prabhupada Ki Ananda Gauti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Om Agyanta Mirandasya Giranjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Nadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyarevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare O Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya O Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya O Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 6, Text 18. Rajan Patir Guru Ralam Bhavatam Yadunam Daivam Priyakulapati Kwacha Kinkarovha Astvevam Anga Bhagavan Bhajatam Mukundho Muktim Dadhati Karhichit Smana Bhakti Yogam Rajan Patir Gururalam Bhavatam Yadunam Daivam Priyakulapati Kwacha Kinkarovha Astvevam Anga Bhagavan Bhajatam Mukundho Muktim dadati karichit smana bhakti yogam
Rajan
dadati karichit smana bhakti yogam. Jan Patir Guru Lalam Bhagavan Bhavatam Gyanam Daivam Priya Kulapati Kwacha Kinkarova
Aspe Nunga Bhagavan Bhachatomukundo
Muktim dadati karichet smana bhakti yogam. Mother. Rajan patir mururalam bhavatam yajunam. Daivam priyakulapati kachakin karova. Astveva manga bhagavan vajatam mukundo Muktim dadati karichit smana bhakti yogam Rajan. O my dear king, pati maintainer, guru, spiritual master, alam, certainly, bhavatam, of you, yadunam, the Yadu dynasty, daivam, the worshipable deity, priya, very dear friend, kulapati, the master of the dynasty, kwacha, sometimes even, Kinkara, servant, va, of you, the Pandavas, astu, to be sure, evam, thus, anga, O King, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, bhajatam, of those devotees engaged in service, Mukunda, the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Muktim, liberation. Dadati, delivers. Karhichit, at any time. Sma, indeed. Na, not. Bhakti yogam, loving devotional service. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Sukadeva Goswami continued, my dear king, the Supreme Person, Mukunda, is actually the maintainer of all the members of the Pandava and Yadu dynasties. He is your spiritual master, worshipable deity, friend, and the director of your activities. To say nothing of this, he sometimes serves your family as a messenger or servant. This means he worked just as ordinary servants do. Those engaged in getting the Lord's favor attain liberation from the Lord very easily. But he does not very easily give the opportunity to render direct service unto him. Purport. While instructing Maharaj Parikshit, Sukadeva Goswami thought it was wise to encourage the king, because the king might be thinking of the glorious position of various royal dynasties. Especially glorious is the dynasty of Priyavrata, in which the Supreme Lord Rishabhadev incarnated. Similarly, the family of Uttanapad Maharaj, the father of Maharaj Dhruva, is also glorious due to King Prithu's taking birth in it. The dynasty of Maharaj Raghu is glorified because Lord Ramchandra appeared in that family. As far as the Yadu and Kuru dynasties are concerned, they existed simultaneously, But of the two, the Yadu dynasty was more glorious due to the appearance of Lord Krishna. Maharaj Parikshit might have been thinking that the Kuru dynasty was not as fortunate as the others because the Supreme Lord did not appear in that family. Neither as Krishna, Lord Ramchandra, Lord Rishabhdev, or Maharaj Prithu. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj was encouraged by Sukadeva Goswami in this particular verse. The Kuru dynasty may be considered more glorious due to the presence of devotees like the five Pandavas who rendered unalloyed devotional service. Although Lord Krishna did not appear in the Kuru dynasty, he was so obliged to the Pandavas' devotional service that he acted as a maintainer of the family and spiritual master of the Pandavas. Although he took birth in the Yadu dynasty, Lord Krishna was more affectionate to the Pandavas. By his actions, Lord Krishna proved that he was more inclined to the Kuru dynasty than the Yadu dynasty. Indeed, Lord Krishna indebted to the Pandavas' devotional service sometimes acted as their messenger, and he guided them through many dangerous situations. Therefore, Maharaj Parikshit should not have been saddened because Lord Krishna did not appear in his family. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always inclined toward his pure devotees, and by his action, it is clear that liberation is not very important for the devotees. Lord Krishna easily gives one liberation, but he does not easily give one the facility to become a devotee. Muktim dadhati karichit sma na bhakti yogam. Directly or indirectly, it is proved that bhakti yoga is the basis for the supreme relationship with the Supreme Lord. It is far superior to liberation. For a pure devotee of the Lord, mukti is automatically attained. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna, Arvindra Puri Prabhu, and also Gaurakishore Prabhu is here. Anyway, I am knowing Gaurakishore Prabhu. Maybe all of you don't know. It's a surprise visit. We're concluding this chapter 6, after tomorrow. And in this last section, we're hearing about the glories of devotional service or bhakti over the glories of mukti. And that was yesterday's verse. We were hearing about the superiority of devotion to God over liberation. And in today's verse, the same theme is actually being glorified in another way. So what's being mentioned here is that Parikshit Maharaj, up until this point, he was hearing about the dynasty of Priyavrata, in which the Supreme Lord Rishabhdev appeared. So that dynasty was glorious because of the appearance of Rishabhadev. Similarly, the dynasty of Uttanapad was glorious because of the appearance of Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj appeared in that dynasty. These are all avatars of the Supreme Lord, Shakti Veshwar, otherwise. And the Raghu dynasty is glorious also because Ramchandra appeared. So, at the same time, Yadu dynasty was there, and also Puru dynasty was there, where Kauravas are coming. They existed at the same time. But Krishna appeared in the Yadu dynasty. And so that dynasty became more glorious as such. We already gave this example a few days ago, that when one tree in the forest has very powerful fragrance, then the whole forest becomes glorified. This example is given by Chanaka Pandit. If one tree has very powerful fragrance, then the whole forest becomes glorified. Of course, the converse is also true. If there's one really bad fragrant tree, then not fragrant, bad smell that's coming from one tree, then the whole forest becomes criticized. So when the Supreme Lord appears in a particular dynasty or family lineage, that lineage certainly becomes glorified due to such an exalted appearance. So in this way, Parikshit Maharaj was hearing about these wonderful dynasties and which were glorified due to the presence of the Supreme Lord. And also Yadu dynasty, Puru dynasty exists at the same time, and Krishna appeared in Yadu dynasty. So internally, he was thinking, or maybe feeling, I am not as fortunate. this consciousness came in his mind, hearing these glories of these family lineages, he internally was thinking, I am not as fortunate because the Supreme Lord did not appear in our family lineage. So here Shukadeva Goswami, able to make out the mentality of Parikshit Maharaj, wants to encourage him. So he speaks this particular verse to him, why he should not rather be discouraged. So here, in short, Shukadeva Goswami points out that although Krishna appeared in the Yadu dynasty, his mentality towards both the Yadu dynasty and the Puru dynasty was very similar. In other words, he didn't give special, how do you say, preference to the Yadu dynasty. So as mentioned here, in both the Yadu dynasty and the Puru dynasty, he was the Pati. Pati means he was the maintainer. So he maintained both dynasties. Both dynasties he maintained. Guru, he acted as the guru of both dynasties as well. Daivam, he was a worshipable deity for both dynasties as well. He was dear to both dynasties as well, Priya. And Kulapati means he was the head of the family for both families. So it was not seen that he showed greater affection to the Yadu dynasty because of his appearance in that family lineage. So in this way, a little pacification. You should not feel internally disturbed that you're not as fortunate because the Lord's affection was equally distributed to both dynasties. But then he makes an interesting point at the last lines here. Kwacha king korova. Prabhupada points this out in the purport also. But he actually shows greater affection to you Pandavas than to the Yadu dynasty. He showed greater affection to the Pandavas. Why did he show greater affection to the Pandavas? Normally his interaction was equally distributed to both dynasties. He acted as the maintainer, the guru, the worshipable deity, the friend, the head of the family, Kulapati, the head of the family. He acted equally in both, but he showed special favor to you Pandavas by acting as a servant, Kinkara. Kinkara, Ayinanda Tanujang Kinkaram. Kinkara means, what do you want me to do? Just like a very menial servant. As any menial servant would act, Krishna acted in that way toward Yupuru dynasty, the Pandavas family. He did not act that way towards the Yadu dynasty, act as messenger and as menial servant, but he did act that way towards the Puru dynasty. And why did he act in that way towards the Puru dynasty? Because of their devotion. So then in this way, Krishna, Shukadeva Goswami is pointing out that Krishna is very easily conquered by loving devotion. So much so that he gave a more exalted position to the Pandavas by dint of their devotion to him over the Yadu dynasty. Of course, it's not, it should be thought in mundane terms, like Yadu didn't have any prema for Krishna or something like that. But it's to illustrate this point, why bhakti is superior to mukti. By dint of your devotion to Krishna, he showed greater preference toward you. He was able to be conquered by you because of your devotion to him. Whereas the Yadus were not able to subjugate the Lord's heart in the same sort of, in the same sense. So this is the main important point. One feels oneself unfortunate due to not having the association of some great personalities. But more important than just being in the proximity of such personalities is to love such personalities. Because in that way you conquer them. There are different ways to try to conquer God. There are different ways of trying to conquering someone. You can say like this. One way is like intellectually try to conquer someone. That's why I used to like chess. I felt an intellectual domination when I could defeat others. So there's one way to try to conquer someone. The debates and so on that go on. This is one way of trying to conquer someone intellectually. Another way you might try to conquer someone is by brute force. That is obviously seen historically. And another way you might try to conquer someone is by love. The interesting thing about that way of conquering someone is that that consciousness is devoid of the conquest spirit. Like the first two, they have conquest spirit. They want to conquer. But when you conquer someone by loving sentiments, it is usually devoid of, it must be necessarily devoid of the conquest spirit. And it naturally subjugates the party by dint of such love. So much so that Krishna becomes subjugated when he sees such love. So with Krishna, he cannot be conquered by any method but by love. Loving devotion to him, bhakti yogam. He cannot be conquered by any other method. Of course, they try to conquer Krishna through word jugglery. This is the prominent means of attacking God in the modern civilization. Write volumes and volumes and volumes of books that bewilder the mind of innocent people. And that way try to prove the non-existence of God simply through word jugglery. Actually, there is no evidence for the non-existence of God or even the existence of God in terms of empirical analysis. But through word jugglery, they bewilder people into thinking that there is no God. This is one way they try to conquer. And they would hope that there would be no God, but still God consciousness is somehow the prevailing in society to their dismay, those who don't want God in that. And of course, there is no question of conquering God by brute force. Many demons, of course, tried, but all of them lost their heads, inevitably. So that is not possible. But there is one way one can conquer God, but that's by loving devotion to Him, bhakti yoga, and that's mentioned here. But of course, in order to do that, it is naturally to develop that love, it is devoid of the conquering spirit, the conquest spirit. And the Lord becomes obliged to such devotion. So this is the way of actually conquering the Lord. So the Pandavas, because they had developed such loving sentiments for Krishna, they were able to conquer the Supreme Lord. He showed preference to them. And therefore, Shukadeva Goswami said, you should not consider your position less because Krishna did not appear in your dynasty. If it were the case, as indicated in the purport, that his eternally he was feeling somewhat unfortunate because of not having gained the association of the Lord. Early on in the third canto, when Vidura first meets Uddhava, after inquiring so many questions from Uddhava in the first chapter, if you shall see it, then in the beginning of the second chapter, those questions invoked an intense remembrance of Krishna, so much so that Uddhava was not able to speak anything initially. Finally, when he begins to speak to try to answer the questions of Vidura, he points out that most of this world was unfortunate because although they were seeing Krishna, they thought he was an ordinary person. Although they were seeing Krishna do also extraordinary things, they thought he was an ordinary person. And an example is given, just like the fish in the milk ocean thought the moon was an ordinary fish. Maybe with a little bit of illumination, a little bit better, but he's just a fish also. This example is given by Uddhava. As far as we're concerned, the moon appeared from the milk ocean. So we're not going to discuss the details. That's coming up later in this canto. But the moon appeared from the milk ocean. So when the fish in the milk ocean saw the moon, this example Uddhava is giving, then they thought, oh, just another ordinary fish. A little bit more illumination, maybe, but just a fish also. They were thinking this way. So although Krishna did so many extraordinary activities, still so many people thought he was an ordinary person. I always give example of Duryodhan. When Krishna was acting as a messenger for the Pandavas in order to make peace with the Kaurava army, he came to Duryodhan with the peace treaties and so on. And immediately Duryodhan did not accept, and Krishna, he showed his universal form. And upon seeing that universal form, Duryodhan's response was arrest Krishna. That's quite incredible. Krishna shows the universal form, and you say arrest Krishna. So even Krishna does extraordinary things. People do not accept his activities. Even they were seeing such activities, they did not accept. Krishna says this in the Gita. Why is that? Naham prakasha sarvasha yogamaya samarvita. They covered by yogamaya, by the covering potency of Krishna. Therefore, avajananti mam mudha manushyam tanumashritam. When he comes as a human being, they think he's an ordinary human being. They deride him. Oh, Krishna has done this gopi rasa dance. How is this proper? Parashat Maharaj asks this question at the end of the discussion, because he knew that some people might be thinking this way. They don't realize that the rasa dance is evidence that Krishna is God. Because there were millions and millions of gopis in the Ras Mandal. It wasn't like one or two he was dancing with, but millions at a time he was dancing with for the whole night of Lord Brahma. That is inconceivable. So that is, pastime is evidence of his lordship, but still they take him to be an ordinary person. So Uddhava, he mentions this point that most of the world is unfortunate because they thought Krishna an ordinary person, even though he performed extraordinary activities. But even more unfortunate than the whole planet was the Yadu dynasty. Uddhava says this point. They were more unfortunate because they had the direct association of the Supreme Lord, but they did not develop any love for him through devotional service. He's speaking in humility. This is what we should understand. He's teaching the conditioned souls, you can say, through his words. Even though they had his association, they also saw him only in an ordinary sort of way. And even more unfortunate than the Yadu dynasty, he makes this point, Uddhava, Prabhupada points it out in the purport, is myself. I am even more unfortunate than the Yadu dynasty because I knew Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and even I did not develop love for Krishna. He makes this point. Of course, Uddhava is extremely exalted. Next to the gopis, Uddhava is next in the list in terms of his love for Krishna. He's very exalted. So he's speaking in a humble way. But he's saying, even I knew his position, but because I did not develop love for Krishna, therefore I am the most unfortunate of all. So the point here is that we may have the association of the Supreme Lord himself or some exalted personalities, but that doesn't make us fortunate. Or let's say that doesn't make us fully fortunate. One has to, so to speak, cash in on his good fortune. It's just like we say, what is the verse? Brahmanda Brahmite, Kona Bhagyavan Jiva, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai, Bhakti Lata Bija. So Jiva becomes fortunate when he receives, by the grace of Krishna, the association of the Guru. And then by the association of the Guru, he receives the Bhakti Lata Bija. But that is only the beginning of his fortune, good fortune. That is not the end of the good fortune. Because now he has a seed, but he has to cultivate the seed. Mahaprabhu will go on to describe that you have to sow the seed in your heart, you have to water the seed yourself, you have to be very attentive to remove the unwanted upashakas, the creepers that choke the seed of bhakti and so on. So just to receive the seed is not in itself the end of good fortune. It is the beginning of good fortune. But real good fortune can be conclusively said when you achieve the fruit of the seed, namely love for Krishna. If you don't get the fruit of the seed, then your fortune is not complete. It is not the all in all. So although you may have the association of great personalities, and starting with the Supreme Lord himself or his associates, more important than that association is the love characterized by service to them. That is more important than just the immediate sangha. Sometimes one feels oneself like that. One feels unfortunate. Oh, I don't have the association of the spiritual master. Therefore, I am not feeling enthused in my services. If I would have the association of my spiritual master, then I would be feeling fired up. But then you get the association of your spiritual master and you find faults with your spiritual master. Only thing that goes on, you look for faults because you don't have love. Because you don't have love for the spiritual master, so when you see so many activities immediately, so many faults you'll be finding. Therefore, many servants of Srila Prabhupada didn't survive his personal seva. In fact, we were hearing about one disciple, Srila Prabhupada, when given the opportunity to render personal seva to Srila Prabhupada, he said, I don't accept. So the devotee, why do you not want to accept the personal service of Srila Prabhupada? Because he said, I'm seeing what happens when everyone else accepts the personal service of Srila Prabhupada. They're falling down. Because they're finding fault with the spiritual master. Why? Because they have no love for the spiritual master. So you simply find fault. For I'm giving this as an example. In other words, having the Sangha is not sufficient. Having the Sangha is not the same as the change of heart. Once you first have the change of heart, then you benefit from the Sangha to an extraordinary degree. But without the change of heart, you have the Sangha, and very well you might just simply commit offenses, especially in the mind, and then it gradually manifests in the external activities. So we're not looking for just the association of great personalities, but rather we're looking for the change of heart in relationship to such great personalities, including Krishna and his associates. That's actually what we should be looking for. Otherwise, just like in the material sense, you get the association of great persons because by your connection to them, you become glorified, isn't it? Just like the same example, when the tree is very fragrant, then the whole forest gets the benefit of that glorification. So someone may want the association of great persons because it makes them look as a great personality also. Therefore, in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, it's mentioned you should hide your guru. It mentions you should hide four things are there you should hide. including your beads, your Ishtadeva, your Gayatri mantras, and also, as mentioned, you should hide your guru. And the reason for that is because there are two types of disciples. Those who are externally orientated, they're called Barhumukh Shishas. They're externally orientated. And they're internally orientated Shishas, Antarmukh Shishas. So the Barhumukh Shishas, they will, by their connection with the spiritual master, take advantage of that to flaunt their own prestige. And therefore, more important than speaking your connection with some great personality is rendering service to that great personality. That's more important. That's what the internal mood of a real disciple is, how to render service to that personality. So more important than just Sangha is a change of heart. And through the Sangha, we're actually looking for the change of heart. And without the change of heart, we won't benefit so much from the Sangha. So that change of heart comes through devotional service. The change of heart is what conquers or gains the attention of Krishna and then conquers his own heart by seeing our own change of heart in relationship to him and great personalities. So Shukadeva Goswami is saying you should not feel yourself less fortunate because they had the change of heart. They had love for Krishna. And therefore they were able to conquer Krishna so much more so than the Yadu dynasty. So this most important point that we can derive for our own practice as sadhakas, that why are we associating with this Krishna consciousness movement? What is the purpose of the association of the Krishna consciousness movement? It is not just to flaunt our exalted fortune by being in association with this movement, but is to rather work progressively step by step on the actual transformation of the heart through the association of this Krishna consciousness movement. Otherwise, it'll never be any end to the amount of dissatisfaction if you don't work on the change of heart. It is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the fourth chapter, Adi Lila, that that what is a symptom of love? First, love and lust are compared to each other. It's like gold and iron. And lust is described as the desire to satisfy one's own senses. And love is described as the desire to satisfy Krishna's senses. And then a further deliberation on love is given. The love, the Krishna prema that is given, it is described there that even when there's reason to sever the relationship, one does not sever the relationship. That is called Krishna prema, called love for Krishna. When there is a good reason to sever the relationship and one does not sever the relationship, then that is the indication of love for Krishna. What is the verse? Shishtashakam verse? Eighth verse, isn't it? Asishava padaratam panashtumam adarshanam marma hatam kurutuva. This verse is given by Srimati Radharani herself. This is spoken by Srimati Radharani herself. And then what is the verse saying? That even if you shall leave me brokenhearted by not coming before me and giving darshan or by trampling on my heart, still I know no one but you as my worshipable Lord. And Prabhupada says this verse is the no business verse. Simply loving Krishna. Now, how many of us can say like this? This is change of heart. That even though there's apparently very good reason to be distraught and sever the relationship with Krishna or his devotees like that, then one does not sever. Who can say like that? As soon as there's some slight discrepancy, our mind immediately starts working. Is this for me? Is this the right program? Is this a bona fide movement? Do I have a bona fide spiritual master? Is Krishna really God? So many doubts start coming out. As soon as there's a slight discrepancy in our comfort program, our program of sense gratification, then immediately we feel discouraged in our devotional service to Krishna. So a mere change of heart is not there. How we will benefit? So this Krishna prema, this love for Krishna's devotees, this is necessary to be developed. So then it's mentioned here, this verse is actually described in the Nectar of Devotion and describing the rarity of the attainment of bhakti, particularly bhav bhakti. In the six characteristics of devotional service, one of the characteristics is that it is rarely attained. And there's reasons for that. I'm not going to go to a detailed discussion of those reasons. But one of the reasons it is rarely obtained is because, number one, if you do a lot of devotional service but you don't have attachment to Krishna, then bhava does not come, love doesn't come. And the reason is because bhava appears after asakti. So unless one may do many services for Krishna, but unless he develops attachment for Krishna, that bhava doesn't come. This is one reason why it's mentioned it is rarely obtained. This is also discussed in Chaitanya Charitamrita and Sanatana Shiksha. And the other reason it is rarely obtained is that even if you're doing sadhana with asakti, Krishna does not give bhakti very easily because it conquers him. So he wants to make sure that you're a totally trustworthy person. Otherwise, if I give you something that can conquer me, then and you are an irresponsible person, then I will be compromised. Therefore, Krishna does not very easily give bhakti. And for that, for reference for that particular point, this verse is given. This verse is given. That even if sadhana is done with attachment to Krishna, until that attachment becomes very intense, Krishna does not give bhakti. He does not agree to give this bhakti. That's what is mentioned. Muktim nadati, for those who worship him, bhajatam, bhagavan bhajatam mukundo. For those who do bhajan to Krishna, he will very easily give mukti. He doesn't mind giving liberation, because that doesn't conquer him. But parichit sma na bhakti yogam, but sma na bhakti yogam, but he won't agree to give bhakti so easily. Now that he doesn't give, but he doesn't agree to give it so easily. And the reason he doesn't agree to give it so easily is because of this point. Unless you're a completely trustworthy person, that means no material desires. Anya bilashita shunyam. And that point has to become stronger and stronger as we develop in devotional service. Otherwise, our attachment to Krishna does not become intense. How can you be attached to someone when you have separate interests pervasive in the heart? How is it possible to be attached to someone if you have separate desires, isn't it? Just like we approach Krishna, and what type of desires are we approaching Krishna with? Hardly do we even notice Krishna is there. Just like when we were chasing after our sense gratification in the material world, we were so interested in exploiting the other person that we didn't even realize they were persons actually. We just saw them as objects for our own enjoyment. Later on, if you got in a committed relationship with them and then you were forced to see that they were actually persons, they weren't objects for your own enjoyment, then immediately you just broke up. So I need another object for my enjoyment. That's how the nature of material sense gratification works. It depersonalizes all of existence. This is called samadarshi, equal vision. Everyone is an equal vision. They see everything for my sense gratification only. And as soon as there is discrepancy in that program, they sever the relationship. And then they get another one, another object. And then, oh, he's also a person. Sever the relationship. Then they get another object, and they realize that is the person. They sever the relationship. So this is going on in the material world. So Krishna, unless we give up separate interests completely by dint of the process of devotional service, then how we will get attached to Krishna? And without attachment to Krishna, he would not agree to give bhav bhakti or devotional service because he knows that will conquer him. And you're not a trustworthy fellow because you have so many material desires. Just like we were making jokes, some devotees, we were having fun, a good time that in Bhagavad Gita class a few weeks ago, that in the spiritual world they have desire trees. The desire trees are there. So we were making sure, therefore, in order to go to the spiritual world, your desires have to all be proper. Because if we were to go to the spiritual world with the type of desires we have, then we'd be in trouble. And then we were joking that suppose this was a desire tree. And so we would put it in the center of the japa room and everyone would start chanting, Hare Krishna, it's a desire tree. And then all our desires would start walking through the door. You know, I said, Prabhu, that wasn't me, that was him. It'd be quite embarrassing. Some of the desires would be quite humiliating. Also, definitely you would not want to chant, be the only one chanting in front of the desire tree. Because then everything will be exposed. Hare Krishna, and then the devotee will say, oh my God. So many horrible desires you're having. So unless your desires are pure, you cannot have entry into the spiritual world. Because you'll create havoc there with all those material desires. You'll create havoc. So Krishna not agree to give devotional service so easily because it will conquer his heart. And we've not made ourselves trustworthy by giving up separate interest. Unless you give up separate interest, then you're not a trustworthy person. Prabhupada teaches this in Krishna book. that who is that? Kamsa. He wanted all the children of Vasudeva and Devaki, and he was going to slaughter all of them because he thought that any one of them could kill them. He was paranoid like that. So, but because Vasudeva kept his word that I will give you all my children, just spare Devaki. So when Vasudeva brought the first kid, Kamsa's heart was somewhat moved by that. So he said, you can keep this kid. It's actually the eighth one that's going to kill me. Therefore, just bring that one to me. I'll slaughter that one, but you can keep this one. So although Vasudeva was shocked, Prabhupada mentions there that he didn't trust Kamsa's intentions because his senses were not controlled. And one who does not control his senses cannot be trusted. Prabhupada makes that teaching there. So same idea. Since lack of sense control means separate interests. Unless we give up separate interests, we're not trustworthy. Krishna does not agree to give bhakti. So it's mentioned that bhakti is rarely obtained. This is the verse that's mentioned. Because we have to make ourselves completely trustworthy persons. Krishna will easily give mukti, but he will not easily give bhakti unless we become completely trustworthy. So more important to just gaining the association of Krishna is we need to first really change our heart. Then the association of Krishna, the association of sadhus, we can take to the highest zenith. Otherwise, we cannot benefit much because of lack of change of heart. There's not much benefit. So we have to be very much concerned about that point, and more concerned about just, tallying in how much I've done this, how much I've done that. I went to all the Mangal Artis without fail for 5 years straight. I read so many literatures. I chanted so many rounds. I performed so many austerities. But heart didn't change. Tadashma saram hirdayam bhatedam. You know this verse? What is that? Vikreya tarato? I forget. Vikreya tarato? My mind is forgetting. Anyway, this is an important line also. That heart is certainly still framed. That in spite of chanting Harinam with concentration, that heart does not change. Even when there's apparent transformations, tears coming from the eyes, the hair standing on end, but the heart has not actually changed, then we can understand that that heart is still framed. So what was his benefit? He's chanting Harinam and tears are coming to the eyes, but his heart is still framed. So we should not be, we can get into the mentality of like a Niyamagraha type of mentality, where we can rack in our level of absorption in various activities, but we're not being analytical about what is happening to the heart. Sometimes such intense engagement may also bring pride in the heart if you're not being attentive to it. You might think, oh, I am such an exalted personality. I've done so many austerities. Just like on Akadashi, if you shall do fasting, and then the tendency may be to see what the other devotees are also doing. Sometimes you have a good fast day, and you feel energetic, and you absorb yourself in chanting and hearing all day. Then immediately you feel yourself, not Mahabhagavata, but coming up shortly thereafter. And then we go downstairs and you see all the devotees are eating prasadam, they're speaking prajapa also. You say, oh, they're not serious about their Krishna consciousness like me. So you are doing many nice austerities, you're doing engagement in devotional service, you're doing, but you're not attentive to what's happening to the heart situation. Then how you benefit, how you gained. So we must, of course, be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Asakti must be there. We must come to that level through Krishna's mercy and through our intense determination. But as we're trying to progress, we have to be attentive to what is happening to the heart. Ashma sara means still-framed heart. We want to melt the heart through the process of devotional service. Krishna is a butter thief, not a stone thief. Isn't it? If the heart is soft like butter, Krishna will like that heart. He will steal that heart. But if your heart is stone heart or full of stones, then Krishna doesn't want to play with stones. He likes butter. So the process of bhakti is to melt the heart. So we should... that point is more important for us especially. And Shukadeva Goswami is also making that point. Having the association of the Lord is certainly very wonderful, undoubtedly. But more important than that is association with the transformed heart situation. And because the Pandavas had that, Krishna showed so much predilection toward them, even more so than the Yadu dynasty. So those are some points that I can make out from Prabhupada's purport. Does anyone want to add anything to the discussion or inquire anything? Okay.
Hare Krishna, thank you for your class. So, the question comes up, the sadhaka whose heart is hard as steel, and he wants to have a soft heart. So instead of becoming paralyzed and not doing anything, because anyways I have a hard heart, you know, I'm not putting any love behind what I'm doing, I continue to serve in the hopes that it'll melt my heart. But here you're explaining, and it makes sense, that we can't just keep track of everything we've done. So I don't really know where does one go from there? You know, if everything that we're doing, because we have a hard heart, so we decide to become a little dutiful, and do our service, you know, in a regulated kind of, in a rigid kind of way, hoping it'll melt our hearts.
Yeah, I mean, so no, simply, number one, foremost probably, is one has to pray, like, for transformation. But otherwise it doesn't happen. Like, in one sense it's magical, in another sense it's because of the desires there. One has to pray for transformation. And Krishna's going to help us to transform through his energies. That means like the environment, through the devotees' interactions and so on. His various energies, Krishna's trying to help us bring about a transformation. So aside from our prayer and our gravity and our intent and our intention, then we have to also start passing tests. Krishna is using his energies, the environment, other living entities, in order to test the heart. In fact, it is mentioned very beautifully by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that in the Ras Lila pastime, he mentions this beautiful point that why is it that Krishna disappears from the Rasastali? And the point that he makes is really was touching for me. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says it was for the purpose of studying the hearts of course, the gopis. And he was making the point that the reason the Lord hides himself from the living entities is for the purpose of studying their hearts. So he's putting us through various situations through his energies. We're meeting with different types of jivas. We're meeting with different types of life circumstances. And Krishna is hiding himself and observing what are the activities, what is our response to those various arrangements that he's making for our, reinstatement in Krishna consciousness. So if we lack that consciousness that Krishna is making these arrangements for our reinstatement in that consciousness, then our response to those arrangements would be quite negative. And I would venture to say that's what happens most of the time. Because we don't, maybe the prayer isn't there, maybe the gravity isn't there, the grave intention that I really want transformation. So therefore, when the arrangements are coming up for facilitating that transformation, we don't respond well to them. Therefore, we don't become trustworthy why Krishna will give to us anything. So aside from prayer and also just a seriousness, so to speak, a awareness in one's practice, then we have to start passing tests. You know, we can't keep failing the tests somehow or other. Everyone can pass tests. Krishna is giving intelligence and power. Srila Prabhupada teaches that when Krishna gives a test, he also gives the power to pass the test. But somehow or other, we're unwilling to mature, unwilling to advance. We want to remain childish and petty. It's just like sometimes you get into an argument over something very petty. You have experience with something very petty. And then somehow or other you can't give it up, even though it's so petty thing, but mind is so agitated that you go on arguing about that. Even from something very insignificant. So unless we are ready to give up all such pettiness, understanding Krishna's arranging something, and then subsequently passing some tests in those arrangements, then how we will expect transformation of heart? Yeah, of course, so there has to be prayer, there has to be the serious intention. There has to be the recognition of Krishna's arrangements through his through certain interactions. Even if we shall fail, sometimes you fail, some certain tests will come up. But you should not continually fail. Again and again and again, the same test is coming up. You should not continually fail. You should recognize, okay, this is a problem for me, and work on it, and then pass the test. It will come up again and again and again. Just like, for example, another example, Boga came yesterday. And sometimes you end up being like the first person doing it. And what happens to the mind when you're the first one there? Say for like 10 minutes, no one shows up. 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes, no one shows up. Everyone knows Boga is there, but no one shows up 10, 15 minutes. Then what does the mind do at that time? Start finding fault with all the devotees. And then they all start dragging in one by one. And then as they're dragging in, although you're doing a service and you're not saying anything, but the mind is finding fault. So this is like a test of Krishna. You have to pass the test. Now, of course, if it's our duty and so on to say something, or even as a well-wisher to that devotee, we want to say something, that is another type of point. Another point I'm making is that we can see that as the devotees being irresponsible, and that way our mentality becomes quite polluted. Or you can see Krishna's giving me a chance to purify my existence. Like that, it's a simple test. Or another test is you already ate enough prasadam and then the ice cream comes out and you're already full. You don't need to eat anymore. And then, because it's ice cream, it just happens to be my favorite flavor. This is another type of test, simple test. I mean, we don't have to speak about even big tests, but even these simple types of tests. So then we have to begin trying to pass them. No, not that by passing tests we attain Krishna, but rather by passing tests we show Krishna that we are serious about transformation. And then Krishna's mercy comes flowing when he sees that, okay, that's really what they want. Otherwise, how we will prove it to Krishna that we are wanting to be improved?
Yeah, thank you, Guru. I had a question about prayer. I'm finding in my own life that the practice of prayer may not be so prominent because there's a misconception that I'm thinking Krishna already knows everything. He knows what's in my heart. He knows my desire. So going through the process of making a formal prayer, I'm not inclined because I'm thinking Krishna already knows. I know this is a problem. So what is it about going through the process of actually praying that it awakens something that is not there?
Well, we see that this is true in the Bhagavatam in many places. I'm thinking of the sixth canto, particularly ninth chapter. The devas are praying to Lord Narayana, and they specifically point out, you already know what our desires are, but we're going to pray for it anyway. So it's something, maybe I will give a simple analogy. It's something like a mother taking her child to the ice cream store. And she knows that he likes a certain type of ice cream, but she waits for him to ask for it before she gets it for him. Because it's more personal. It's more personal. It requires establishment of relationship to do that. Just like in our dealings with one another, we may know certain things. I'll give maybe a negative example. Sometimes you have a kind of altercation with a devotee or some misunderstandings with a devotee. And it could probably be solved if you guys just got together and just solved it. But although that problem is there, no one wants to say anything to the other person because it's too personal. It makes you uncomfortable. And so in order to avoid the discomfort of personal interaction, nothing is actually told at all. And it's just like these glances that are passing through the temple room and through the prasadam hall and so on. Where it could just probably be easily solved if you just went to the devotee and just said something to them and cleared up any misunderstanding. But no, because it's too personal, it's too uncomfortable, nothing is told. So although Krishna may be knowing everything, just like we know that there's a misunderstanding, but no one is saying anything. But it's coming out in a kind of passive-aggressive sort of way. But if someone would maybe say something, then things can be easily solved. That's in the opposite way. So Krishna may be knowing everything, but he's inviting us to have the personal interaction by which we can purify ourselves. So Prahlad Maharaj, you'll notice in his preamble, in the first five or six slokas of his prayers, I call it the preamble because it's like these very humble submissions to Lord Nrisimhadev, extremely beautiful and humble submissions. And he's praying that even the devatas, they're so exalted and they were glorifying you in so many wonderful ways, but they could not please you. So what speak of me who are born in the family of demons? How can I please you? Then he gives this long list of ecstatic qualities. And he says, you're not pleased by any of that. But you're pleased by someone who has bhakti. And he gives an example. Gajendra. What is Gajendra? It's nothing but a dumb elephant. Like all of us. Dumb elephant. But because he had a little bit of bhakti, he was able to please you. Then he goes on describing the glories of bhakti. And then he makes his concluding point in his preamble. Is that therefore, not considering my disqualification, which is enormous, I'm going to offer some prayers to you, because by offering prayers to you, I can purify my own existence and thereby come closer to obtaining you. He makes this point. You can go and see Prahlad Maharaj's prayers. So then, although Krishna knows everything, he's inviting us to come interact with him in a personal way through prayer. It's very personal. Like that, it shows that we're ready for a more personal interaction. What is this verse from Bhagavad Gita? Vidaraga Bhaya Krodha Manmaya Mama Pashritaha Bharavo Ganatapasa Putama Baba Magata. So Krishna mentions this thing about developing love for him, that it's possible many have developed love for him, but they had to overcome three obstacles. Raga, Bhaya, and Krodha. Bhaya means fear. So in the fear point, Prabhupada mentions about the fear of being a person again. That is the specific fear that Prabhupada points out that we have to overcome in order to develop love for Krishna. So that fear of being a person, that fear of personal interaction, is actually a very prominent fear in the mentality of the conditioned soul. So then one has to try, we're trying to overcome that through these personal interactions, of which prayer is a very significant one, of communication with the Supreme Lord or prayer to a devotee. It's personal. It helps us to overcome the impersonal tendency. Anyway, he already knows what's going on, so what's the use? Like that, I would maybe venture to say it now. And of course, we purify ourselves, as I mentioned, Prahlad Maharaj's prayer. Okay, any other comments, questions, concerns? No? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. And then he makes his concluding point in his preamble, is that therefore, not considering my disqualification, which is enormous, I'm going to offer some prayers to you. Because by offering prayers to you,